Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you on this seventh day of October 2019. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We're continuing on with part two of Blacks in the Priesthood, chapter 13 of The Church and the Gospel by Ogden Kraut. I'm going to try to record this again. I tried to record it the other day. It didn't work. So there may or may not be a video available for this specific chapter or radio show, but we're going to go through it anyway. And I'm out here in Huntington, just pulled off by the little rest area in town here, looking at the only light in the whole county of Emory. The only stoplight, green, yellow, red stoplight here. It's part of the reason why I like it down here. Not a lot of traffic, not a lot of people. It's like the whole county, well, except for Green River, because they're on the other side of the San Rafael Swell. But everybody on this side of the county, it's like one big small town, like the whole county. Everybody knows each other. There's one high school in the whole county, two junior highs, and three or four elementary schools, I think. Anyway, so we moved down here because I used to bring the mail down here, and I really liked it, so we moved down here. So I don't work for the post office anymore. I drive a coal truck, which is less stressful than the post office. The post office, I used to bring the mail from Provo, the Southern Utah Distribution Center for the Postal Service, down to Price, Utah, which is in Carbon County. I used to bring them all the mail to Carbon County, to that post office, and then I would reload out of my semi-truck into a box truck, and I would deliver to Emory. No, let me think. Elma, this is the order of the route in the morning. Elmo, Cleveland, Huntington, Castledale, Orangeville, Clawson, which post office is closed since I stopped delivering the mail, Farron, and Emory. So, anyway, but I drive a coal truck now, and it's less demanding, and I really enjoy it. So, anyway, but we're in the process of moving right now. We just got the papers for the home that we're going to be moving into right around November 1st. And so we are packing up and trying to get everything moved, and I'm trying to work hard. So I need $3,000 out of this next paycheck between me and my wife in order to make this work. So I'm working as hard as I can at night while my wife is home with the kids, and then I get home and she goes to work and I watch the kids and I try to get sleep in here and there, and which isn't really easy when you've got he's almost 4 months old and four days from now, he'll be 4 months old plus a four-year-old. So things are a little bit difficult lately, but I still want to do these radio shows, and so I'm doing it the best that I can at this time. Anyway, like I said, I do have the studio up and running, so I will be able to see if anybody calls in, and I will take phone calls at the end of this reading. So we're in part two, like I said, of Blacks in the Priesthood, chapter 13 of The Church and the Gospel by Ogden Kraut. I did part one of this last week, and this is not a topic that I like to talk about, not even a little bit. But we'll get into it, and I'm not going to skip anything out just because I feel uncomfortable talking about the topic. So we'll just get right into the reading. The 1978 announcement. However, less than a year after President Kimball made this statement at BYU, a news release by the First Presidency made the following announcement. All worthy male members of the church may be ordained to the priesthood without regard for race or color. Deseret News, June 9, 1978, front page. On June 8, a letter had been issued to church general and local priesthood members with this same information. However, neither announcement contained a copy of a revelation from God instructing that such a change should take place. Part of the reason why there was no revelation given is because they did not receive a revelation on the subject. Jimmy Carter had issued a statement to the First Presidency that he would see to it that their 501c3 status as a church would be revoked and the government would seize their assets if they did not give blacks the priesthood. That was the revelation, not from God, but from Jimmy Carter. I only know that because I used to be friends with a 70, that he was a 70 during that time, and he had a problem with this, which a lot of people did. In fact, the patriarch of the church, so Hiram Smith was, I think it was Joseph Smith Sr., and then Hiram Smith, they were the first two patriarchs of the church, and there was actually, that was an office, so you had the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. You had the bishop of the church, the whole church, and his two counselors. And you had the patriarch of the church, not stake patriarch, the patriarch of the whole church. And he made an issue out of it. He says, well, what tribe of Israel are they? You know, what tribe of Israel are these black Africans? And he made a big deal out of it, so they did away with his office. They retired him to emeritus status. And in the spring of 2013, the last patriarch of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who held the office of patriarch over the whole church, passed away, and that office has not been filled by anyone since that point. I find it interesting that both Denver Snuffer and myself received big revelations during that time on what we needed to do, which, if you knew the whole thing, you'd realize how monumental it really was, but I'm not here to talk about that at this time. Continuing on with the reading, news of the change was welcomed and held around the world. It was apparent that enough pressure had been put on the church church hierarchy to get the desired results. Many rumors and stories circulated about this announcement, but the most detailed account was attributed to Apostle LeGrand Richards. On August 16, 1978, he allegedly had a taped interview with Chris Valkos and Wesley Walters in the church office building. Excerpts from the published account follow. Walters, on this revelation of the priesthood to the Negro, I've heard all kinds of stories. I've heard that Christ appeared to the apostles. I've heard that Joseph Smith appeared. And then I heard another story that Spencer Kimball had a concern about this for some time and simply shared it with the apostles, and they decided that this was the right time to move in that direction. Are any of those stories true, or or are they all Richards, LeGrand Richards? Well, the last one is pretty true, and I might tell you what provoked it in that way. Down in Brazil, there's so much Negro, so if you had any drop of Negro blood in your genealogy or whatever, you couldn't go into the temple, you could not receive your endowments, you could not do baptisms for the dead, you could not get your washings and anointings, and you could not receive the priesthood. So this is what he's talking about, just to put it in a little bit of context here. Down in Brazil, there is so much of the Negro blood in the population that it is hard to get leaders that don't have Negro blood in them. We just built a temple down there. It's going to be dedicated in October, and all those people with Negro blood in them have been raising money to build that temple. If we don't change, then they can't even use it. Well, Brother Kimball worried about it, and he prayed a lot about it. Hold on here. And he prayed a lot about it, and he asked each one of us, of the 12, if we would pray, and we did, that the Lord would give him the inspiration to know what the will of the Lord was. He then invited each one of us in his office individually, because you know when you're in a group, you can't always express everything that's in your heart. You're part of the group. See, so he interviewed each one of us personally to see how we felt about it, and he asked us to pray about it. He then asked each one of us to hand in all the references we had for or against that proposal. See, he was thinking favorably toward giving the colored people the priesthood. Then we had a meeting where we were every week in the temple and discussed it as a group together. We then prayed about it and in our prayer circle, and then we had another prayer circle after the close of that meeting. And he, speaking of Spencer W. Kimball, led in the prayer, praying that the Lord would give us the inspiration that we needed to do the thing that would be pleasing to him for the blessing of his children. We're on page 211 of The Church and the Gospel, which you can read for free at ogdenkraut.com. If you go there, click on the main page, click on Read Ogden's Books, and scroll down to Church and the Gospel. Or you can go to fundamentallymormon.com, and you'll see this in the October posts for 2019, or on page 211, that would be pleasing to him and for the blessing of his people. The next Thursday, we meet every Thursday, the presidency came with this little document written out to make the announcement to see how we'd feel about it. And presented it in written form. Well, some of the members of the 12 suggested a few changes in the announcement, and then in our meeting, there we were all voted in favor of the 12 and the presidency. One member of the 12, Mark Peterson, was down south in South America, but Brother Benson, our president, Marky Peterson was flatly against giving the blacks the priesthood. So of course he's gone, because they have to have a unanimous vote for the people who are there, and they knew that they were not going to get a vote out of him, and it would not be unanimous, and they would not be able to change things, and then that would screw everything up, because President Jimmy Carter threatened to withdraw the 501c3 status of the church and seize assets. So, anyway. Well, some of the members... Oh, wait, hold on. My iPhone did this software update, and I cannot get this thing to... the font to be larger, and it's hard to read it. But I'm trying. I'll have to take a look at it and try to figure out why it's being such a pain in the butt. later, because it's the first time I've done a radio show since they updated to 13.1 or whatever it is that Apple decided to update to. But anyway, let's see. Brother Benson, our president, had arranged to know where he would be, could be reached by phone, and right while we're in that meeting in the temple, Brother Kimball talked with Brother Peterson and read him this article. He, Brother Peterson, approved of it. I'm going to see if I can fix this real quick because this is driving me nuts. It's really hard to see it. And it would really help if I could see it since, you know, this is like just the radio program that I do every day. Like, it says that I've got the thing, nope, can't do it. Darn it. Let me just try one more thing here. Or maybe two more things. Select all. It's just not going to let me do it. I don't know why. Don't know why. And, you know, this is a live radio program, so it makes it even more difficult when you're trying to do things live instead of just a regular old podcast. But that's the price I pay for wanting to have an open phone line. And there's other reasons why I do it this way, too, but darn it. This is really going to drive me nuts. I'm going to try one more thing before. Well, yep, not going to do it. I don't know why. I'm just going to pull it close to me then if it's not going to work. That way I can read it closer. I like to use this as a teleprompter with my little keyboard, but let's see here. Okay. Walters, what was the date? Would that have been the 1st of June or something? Richards, that was the first Thursday, I think, in May or June. At least that's about when it was. And then after we had all voted in favor of it, we called another meeting for the next morning, Friday morning at 7 o'clock, and all of the other general authorities that included the 70s Quorum and the Patriarch and Presiding Bishopric. And it was presented to them, and they all had an opportunity to express themselves. And there were a few of the brethren that were out presiding then in the missions, and so the 12 were appointed to interview each one of them. Walters. Now, when President Kimball read this little announcement or paper, was that the same thing that was released to the press? Richards, yes. And then Richards says, and there's some ellipses there, so I don't know if they're cutting some stuff out. But anyway, Richards then goes on to say, well, they have held out the thought that they would ultimately get the priesthood, but never determined the time for it. Brigham Young actually did determine the time for it, but, well, he didn't determine it, he spoke it. And so when this situation that we faced down in Brazil, Brother Kimball worried about it, how the people were so faithful and devoted. The president of the Relief Society of the Stake is a colored woman down there in one of the stakes. If they do the work, why it seems they should have the justice of the Lord. It seems that the justice of the Lord would approve in giving them the blessings. Now, it is all conditional upon the life that they live, isn't it? Page 212, Walters. Well, I thank you for clarifying that for me, because you know, out in the streets out there, there must be at least 5 or 10 different stories about the way this happened. Richards, well, I've told you exactly what happened. Walters, right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Richards, if you quote me, you will be telling the truth. Walters, okay, well, fine. I don't mind if we quote, or you don't mind if we quote you then. Richards, no. Walters, okay, that's great. A couple of interview, the complete interview was privately published in the separate pamphlet, See the Segregation of Israel by Ogden Kraut, pages 184 through 188. You can find that for free, like I've said before, at ogdenkraut.com. And then click on Read Ogden's Books, which you can read all of his books, well, not all of them, but pretty much all of them for free online. Anyway, you scroll down to Segregation of Israel, which is a dang good book. I suggest reading it if you're interested in this sort of thing. And that complete interview can be read between pages 184 to pages 188. Because of this change in church doctrine, some serious backpedaling had to take place. Bussar McConkie tried to justify the new position when he spoke to the seminary and institute teachers at BYU. Quote, "Forget everything that I have said and what President Brigham Young or George Q. Cannon said, or whomever has said in the last or in the days past that is contrary to the present revelation. They don't matter anymore." So, like, if God had something to say about it before and they got a revelation on a subject, well, I guess God changed his mind because now we've got a new revelation. So don't worry about all that because we got something else for you. Anyway, it doesn't make a particle of difference what anybody ever said about the Negro before the first day of June of this year being 1978. It is a new day and a new arrangement. As to any silver light or particles of darkness of the past, we forget all about them. The powers that be in the LDS Church, in order to be consistent with this new policy about blacks holding the priesthood, even went so far as to change a passage of Scripture. In the Book of Mormon, Nephi predicts... Oh, forgot, I gotta plug my phone and make sure it don't shut off on me. We're on page 213, by the way. All right, so Nephi says, "And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God, and their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a white and delightsome people." 2 Nephi chapter 30, verse 6. In the 1981 edition of the Book of Mormon, the word white in the last phrase was changed to pure, a chosen people. The restoration of the gospel by Joseph Smith brought back a knowledge of the true doctrines of the gospel, among which was the command to gather the Israelites back to their rightful place as kings and priests unto God forever. Only through these chosen Israelites can the new Jerusalem be built, the promised Zion be established, and the kingdom of God will be given its rightful place of ruling the nations of the earth. God has a reason for making certain sections and separations during the pre-existence and mortality of mankind. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were leaders in raising a particular kind of people before they came to earth. In mortality, those select people were born into the lineage of Israel. Eventually, everyone that goes to the heaven will discover that it too has been segregated into various degrees of glory, the highest having been promised to the Israelites. To summarize. All right, so we're wrapping it up here, and I'm going to end this if we don't have any phone calls. And I'll just put the guest call-in number out one more time. And then if we don't have any phone calls, I'll wrap up the video recording and go get this truck parked and fueled and then go home and take my nap before my son gets up. He was up. Oh, excuse me. I went to bed at 2 or 3 last night, and he was up at 7. Just big old smile on his face, talking to me, you know, and then he got mad at me because I didn't feed him food, so I had to go get him some food. But I didn't get very much sleep last night, so I'm a little bit tired right now. But anyway, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. All right, to summarize, the right to bear the priesthood was determined in the preexistence based on the worthiness of the individual. The ancient prophets restricted priesthood to those in the lineage of Abraham and the house of Israel. Christ sought out those of the house of Israel and told his disciples to do the same. The seed of Cain were restricted from the priesthood. With the restoration of the gospel through Joseph Smith, the same restrictions applied to the gathering of Israel and reestablished the doctrine of prohibiting priesthood to the black race. Number 6. Brigham Young and other church presidents continued that doctrine for nearly 150 years, increased pressure from sports, civil rights, and government organizations, as well as from liberal Mormons, was put out on the church to do something about the issue. Oh, I'm having a hard time here. In June 1978, the official announcement was made that all worthy male members of the church may be ordained to the priesthood without regard for race or color. No written revelation changing this doctrine has ever been produced. Number 10. Elder LeGrand Richard submitted that it was not a Thus Saith the Lord revelation, but that the announcement was given up before they claimed any of the revelation. It was voted on and passed. Sections and segregations are insulated by God, but only the chosen Israelites can establish Zion and the kingdom of God in the New Jerusalem. So anyway, that's the end of part 2. And I'll get that all shared on my Facebook. Let me see if we've got any callers. Let's see here. Nope, we don't have any callers. So anyway, that's a short program tonight. I need to get going anyway because I am exhausted. I just I want to just go to sleep, but I got to go park this truck first. So anyway, I guess we'll leave it at that. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And tomorrow, hopefully, I'll be able to do a longer radio show and not split up the load so much. So anyway, I think we'll be done with it. Thank you for watching, everyone. Take care. God bless, and blessings be upon you and your family. Amen.